Father, thank you for the word of God we have, Lord, to instruct us, to guide us, to teach us, and to, Lord, help us in this journey that we're journeying towards heaven. Father, we ask you now to just have your will and way in this service today as we continue to focus on examples of people that forgave. God, may you help us, Lord, in the times when we need to be able to also, by your grace and by your help. Father, bless your people together today. Now as we come here to your house again, Lord, may this time not be wasted. It may be profitable for all of us today as we learn from your word together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Now turn to Genesis chapter 37 today as we continue our study on forgiveness, examples of forgiveness. Last week we looked at Esau and Jacob and their situation, what happened to them, and how they come together, no matter the circumstances. Most times there's always the opportunity to be able to come together. And today we're in Genesis chapter 37. We're talking about probably 75 years later after Esau and Jacob and their situation. And move now to one of the most popular Bible characters, apart from David probably, is Joseph. Today we're going to be looking at Joseph and his life and things that took place with him. We see now that Jacob's household had grown tremendously. Jacob had now had 12 sons. Joseph was the 11th son. And we see now that Jacob literally had become a nation there in Egypt because of the people there. And today we're going to look at the early life of Joseph in chapter 37. And look, pick up here and see, we're talking about the example of human forgiveness. And as we look at Joseph, we know that Joseph is a foreshadow of Christ, our Savior. Just like John the Baptist was a forerunner, well, Joseph is a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. He pictures him in many ways. And when we talk about them also today as we get into this. But it's in Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to begin reading with verse number 1. First of all here, with Joseph and his brothers, things that are taking place. Chapter 37, verse 1, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bahiah and with the sons of Zophah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father the evil report. Now, Israel loved Joseph. Now, of course, Israel is speaking of Jacob. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel back in chapter 32, verse 28, if you want to read that. But now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Now we see here again, here's partiality shown like it was back with Esau and Jacob. Here you have the same situation here with this. We see malice come now between the brothers. The brothers are all upset with one another. We see, first of all, why Jacob loved Joseph more than all his children, he says in verse number 3, because he was a son of his old age. Jacob was an older man when Joseph was born. Therefore, he gave him a coat of many colors. We see because of that, the other brothers felt jealous and they didn't like that. Here we go with a story again, the life of Joseph here. His father's pet, if you call him, or darling son, whatever you call him, yet he was not idle. He was a shepherd, like all of them were. All of them were shepherds, but yet he was still busy shepherding too, like they were. Someone said that those that are trained up to do nothing are likely to be good for nothing. That's so true. But Joseph wasn't one just to sit around idle. He was a worker, like all his brothers were. They were all taught to work. And you know, there's nothing wrong with being taught to work, is there? You talk about burning tobacco and all that stuff, but I thank God that I'm not there anymore. But I do thank God for the training and the learning that you get when you come up like that. You know, you really know what work is all about. But anyway, here we find Joseph now, and his brother, and his father. And now with our, here's another situation of jealousy and all these things taking place. Now, look, if you will, please, and verse number 2. We find that Joseph was a shepherd also, but he went into the field where his brothers were supposed to be shepherding. And we find here that he come back in verse number 2, the last part of the verse says, and brought unto his father an evil report. An evil report. In other words, he found his brother not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And therefore, he brought the report back to Jacob here, his father, and we find because of that also. Now, that even puts more fuel in the fire, so to speak, as far as them being jealous and all these things taking place in their life, because he informed his father of their wickedness, his wickedness. So we see here, his father loved him very, very much. He loved him. And we find that because of that, he gave him a coat of many colors, and also he was very partial to him. And now he sent him out. He was shepherding, if you please, to check on his brothers, and they come back and he gives a report to his father. And we see here that just edged things on as far as being jealousy. And there's strife now between the brothers and Joseph. In verse number 4 says, when the brothers saw that the father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. That must be a bad situation to be in, folks. When we get to the point that we hate somebody so much, we can't speak to them. That's a bad state, isn't it? That's a bad state. And probably if all of us will be honest with ourselves and honest with God, we've all have been there, haven't we? In times in our life, we've all been there. As an unbeliever, or even as a believer, things come to our life sometimes, but it's not a good place to be, and it brings problems in a situation, especially with this talking about the family. Now notice in verse number 5, we see something else here taking place. Verse number 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. The dream. Now what is the dream? Notice he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood around about, and made obeisance to the sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. So like everything Joseph is doing now is causing more strife between him and his brothers. Things are getting worse and worse and worse, you know. And we see here what's going on. Verse number 9, he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brother, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? Wow, now father and mother's involved with this situation now, as well as the brothers, you see. Are we to all bow down to you because of what you've dreamed? I mean, you know, this is what's taking place in their life here. So we see, because of two dreams here now, they're thinking that he's going to have possession over them, the dreams that he's given to them. And so we see this is putting more fuel to the fire as far as jealousy and hurting here between the brothers and Joseph and also the mom and dad. So now, the malice is here. There's conflict. There's trouble in the camp, so to speak. There's trouble at home because of Joseph and the fact what Jacob did to him as far as favoring him, giving him a coat and all this stuff. And now the dreams he's had and he's told the dreams. He sent Joseph out to the brothers to check on them. They weren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. All kinds of things are going on now. And problems are stirring up here between this family. And Joseph here is the one who they think is causing it all. It's all because of Joseph. Joseph is the instigator. He's the problem in our family now. You know, there seems like sometimes there's a family's like that. It seems like there's one or two that stand out to be family problems, you know. But here we are with Joseph here now. This is the malice that's going on. Now we'll look at the mischief here. What is his brother going to do? How are they responding to what Joseph has said and what Joseph has anticipated to them? In verse number 12, and his brother went to feed the flock from Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, That's Jacob said to Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to them, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. In other words, nobody was there but this one man. The brother was supposed to be there, and the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? Verse 16, and he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flocks. I came to seek my brethren, they're not here. Can you tell me where they are? That they're supposed to be feeding their flocks. Notice verse 17. The Bible says, and the man said, they are departed hence. For I heard them say, let's go down to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. In other words, here, they hated Joseph so much. Now, we find here that they are designing, if you please, to do something to him. They designed to slay him, but determined later on to not do that. But we find here that Joseph is just doing his job, checking on his brother. He gets there, and nobody's there but a man. He tries to find his brother, and the man tells him where they are. And we find here that he goes on to find where they are. Now, go back to verse 18. When they saw him afar off, that is his brother, saw Joseph, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. I said before that Joseph is a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, in verse number 2 of 37, we see that Joseph is a what? A shepherd. He's a shepherd, is he not? Now, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? He's a shepherd also, isn't he? Turn over to John chapter 10. We see Joseph is a shepherd. He's a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming after him, so to speak. He's like him. In John chapter 10, look at verse number 7. Then said Jesus to them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and that all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11 says, Jesus says, I am the what? Good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. And continue. But he that is an hireling, and are not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. Verse 14, Jesus says again, I am the what? Good shepherd, and know my sheep, and are known of mine. Are known of mine. Aren't you glad today to know that you know that you know who Jesus is? That you're a sheep, that you're a shepherd. As the Father knoweth me, Jesus says, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself. I have power to lay it down, and have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. We see again, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, like unto Joseph as a shepherd also. We also see in verse number 3 how Joseph was beloved by his father, was he not? His father loved him more than any of them. Well, Jesus was loved by his father, was he not? He was loved by his father. Matthew chapter 3. Turn there, please. Matthew chapter 3. We see how much Jesus was loved by his father. Matthew chapter number 3, verse 17. And a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, notice in whom I am well pleased. Jesus said this in Matthew 3 and verse number 17. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So see, Joseph was loved by his father. Jesus was loved by his father. Joseph was a shepherd, and also Jesus is a shepherd. We see the foreshadow here. Joseph compared to Jesus and who they are. Now, looking at verse number 13 in Genesis 37, we see that Joseph was sent by their father to the brethren. Jacob sent Joseph out to check on his brethren. Now, we see also that God sent his son. God sent his son. Look in Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20. Look at verse number 13. Luke 20, 13. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be thy will. Reverence him when they see him. I'm going to send my son. So we see here that God the Father sent his son. Then we see also, not only that, Joseph was hated by his brethren without a cause. Verse 4 and 5 and verse 8 in Genesis chapter 37. Well, we see in John chapter 1 how God's son was also hated by his brethren. In John chapter 1, verse 11, we're trying to picture how Joseph is a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 1:11, he, that is Jesus, came unto his own, and his own what? Received him not. He was hated only by his own brethren also, just like Joseph was. So we see here now the mischief of his brethren, the design, what they're going to do with him. Go to verse number 19, back in Genesis chapter 37, verse 19. After they had come near to him to slay him, and they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him, and cast him into some pit, and we will say, some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams. And Reuben, the youngest, heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands, and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands, to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. Now, that's what you call malice, folks. That's what you call being upset with your brother. Amen? And doing what they did to him. And, you know, even Joseph here now, here he is doing what he's supposed to do, seemingly. And all these things are against him. All these people are against him. Have you ever been through things in life when you were trying to do your best? It's like everything you did didn't work. I mean, it seemed like something, you know, you start something and something will take place and all this, you know. And you say within yourself, Lord, what's going on here? What's taking place in my life, you know? But we're going to see exactly what took place in Joseph's life, and it also works out for us too also. But we see here, they designed to slay him, but now they put him in a pit. They put him in a pit. They're going to literally starve him, you see. They changed their purpose here. Later on, we see in verse number 25. Look at verse 25. And they sat down to eat bread, beside where Joseph was there, no doubt. And they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brother, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? What good is that going to be if we kill him? And then verse 27, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh. And his brethren were content. They were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, we see here, they were not going to kill him. They were not going to let him starve. Now they're just going to sell him. And so they sold him as a slave we see took place here now. Imagine your brother, your family selling you as a slave, literally disowning you, accusing you of doing wrong when you're not doing wrong. You're just doing what you're supposed to do. But yet, you've been the accusations are there in your life here. We see here, this is what took place here. So we see. Now, again, Joseph, the foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that Joseph was plotted against by their brethren. Well, we see in John chapter 11, if you turn there, verse 53, how Jesus also was plotted against. John chapter 11, look at verse number 53. It says, then from that day forth, they took counsel together to put him to death. From this day forth, they took counsel to put him to death. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ here and the people there as the trial goes on. So we see here, both were plotted against. Both were plotted against. And so we see now, Joseph is on his way where? To Egypt. He's been purchased as a slave. He's on his way to Egypt. We also see that happened to Jesus in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. See if you can find it here. Matthew chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into her, Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, a saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. The foreshadow. Joseph, a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ and him coming, you see. So, he was sold. He was sold for a few pieces of silver that made their father, we see. Look at verse number 29. What is Jacob going to think about all this that took place with the brethren as far as what they've done to Joseph? We see here, they camouflaged, or they made their father believe that he was torn in pieces. Look at verse 29. Verse number 29 says, and Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats, and dip the coat in the blood. The situation gets worse and worse and worse on it. I mean, you know, it's like sin. One sin causes another sin. I mean, it's getting from bad to worse. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this how we found, know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. They found it. They knew it was. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. And Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. What a lie. What a lie. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his sons many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. I'm going to die mourning about my son, he said. I'm going to die because of my son, what's happened to him. Thus his father wept for him. His father wept for the fact that they deceived him. They said that he was dead. He was eaten alive. He was eaten alive, you see. So we see here, they made their father believe that he was torn in pieces. Torn in pieces. You know, we see here, again, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that Joseph was stripped of his coat. They took his coat from him. We see that Jesus was stripped also. John chapter 19, please. Jesus was stripped of his garment. Look at verse number 23. Verse 22, Pilate answered and said, What I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top to the bottom. And we see also in verse 24, they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, which says, they parted my raiment among them, and for thy vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Again, here we go, a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ, the life of Joseph. We see a strip of his robe. Now, we also see that he was sold for the price of a slave. Joseph was, and so was Jesus, for 20 pieces of silver. He was sold in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 15. Let the scriptures tell the story, folks, not me. Let the scriptures tell the story. Verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. So we see they were sold for the price of a slave, both of them. Joseph and also the Lord Jesus Christ in these chapters here. So we see here, why did all this take place? We're going to know why later on. We'll get to it next week, Lord willing. But we see here, Joseph was just trying to do what he should do and what was right. But all these accusations and all these things he was confronted with in his life. And therefore, we see all these things taking place in the family. The family here now is torn all apart. When we get down to chapter 39 of the book of Genesis, we see something else taking place here. Chapter 39, verse number 1. Joseph is here. He's in Egypt. He's in Egypt now. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain on the guard, an Egyptian, bought him in the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. You know why Joseph was a prosperous man? The scriptures tell us back in Genesis, because he feared God, and he did what was right. He feared God, and he did what was right. And therefore, we find him. We see here faithfulness in hard places. Joseph is now in Egypt in Potiphar's house. Yet he's still going to be faithful in what he's doing right. He's been faithful from day one, hasn't he? When he left the shepherd, when he left the sheep, all the way to where he is now, he's been faithful, hasn't he? He's been faithful to God. He's been faithful in doing what was right here. He's a slave, he's a servant here now, a slave in Potiphar's house, and yet he's honored and favored because he does what's right. He does what he ought to do, you see, in the rest of these verses here. And his master, verse number 3, saw the Lord was with him. Wow, what a testimony. But Joseph, to have lived his life so much that the master saw that the Lord was with him. What a testimony, folks. We said here he did. And so the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Because, again, he feared God, and he did what was right. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hands. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. This king here now, he was blessed because of Joseph being there. He was by there. The faithfulness in a hard place. Hard places. You know, sometimes as a Christian, we may get in a hard place. Amen? Are we going to be faithful to God? Are we going to be faithful right on like Joseph was? He was still faithful. May the Lord help us to look at Joseph, and we see, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ as he foreshadows him here. And we're going to see here also as we continue on why this all took place. All this is working in Joseph's life, we know, for the good. Amen? It's working for His good and working for the good of other people that will take place. And this is to tell me and to you, sometimes when things don't go right in our life, we need to be reminded of this. All things work together for what? The good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. We see that in Joseph's life as we continue next week and finish the story. But look for that in your life. Look for that in your life. Everything that happens to us is for God's glory, for our good. For our good. It's hard sometimes to see that, isn't it? But we see in Joseph, he was faithful. He was faithful even in the hard times. When his family was against him, his mom and dad, everything was against him, but yet he was faithful to God right on. May God help us to be faithful as Joseph was. And we'll continue this story next week. Lord, what a Father, we thank you for men such as Joseph, his life. Lord, and how we see him foreshadowing you and all you've done for us. And we see what Joseph, he was very faithful, Lord, to you and doing what he ought to do with his life. And God, help us, Lord, to be more like him. Truly, he is an example that we need to pattern our life after. And to realize, Lord, that the situations we deal in our life, Lord, did just to make us what we ought to be, better for you. And God, we see that in Joseph's life. And Lord, we're going to see next week, Lord, the victory that was won in the family there because of Joseph's faithfulness. Father, help us now, Lord, in the service we're about to go into. May you bless our preacher, bless the singing. Lord, may all this bring honor to you. And God, if there's one here today that's not saved, we pray today might be the day of their salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.